Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5. With Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
All right, it's the Over Under 98.5 podcast. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We try to go live every Thursday night at 6 o'clock. And all of a sudden, Twitter has had a malfunction. So when I hit start broadcast, an error has occurred. This could be temporary. Please wait a moment here. So... the second that we're live on Twitter, I'm sure you guys will know, and I'm sure it's a Twitter issue, but we are on YouTube. We actually have people watching, Dan.
Nice.
On YouTube already, so they're ready to go. So you guys can chat in to the show. I'm going to go. There are so many college football games that, like, I don't even know if I can keep up with them. There were games canceled this weekend, and there's still so many damn college football games. So we'll get into those in just a little bit here. And of course the NFL slate, no Thursday night game tonight in the NFL, but we do have one in college football. So,
right.
3.5 is the line for the old Arky State. We'll save it for a little bit. We'll get the ball rolling. And just quickly, Dan, what I picked last week, I had Auburn there on the list, so I'm done with Auburn, even though they won.
Yeah.
Had Clemson, easy. And then I picked Sunday, I had two totals, the under in the Seattle game and the over in the Pittsburgh Philly game. So 2-0 in the NFL, 1-1, and I lost Novak Djokovic, and you know, I'm kind of embarrassed about that, Dan. I just kind of wanted to, like, lead off my own thought there. I'm embarrassed that I, like, gave a pick on that. Yeah, I was a little unaware. It was the French Open. I'll be better. I don't know why during the week something came across that I saw Federer versus Nadal, and I was like, oh, the Joker. He's got something, you know. I didn't, you know, I never looked into the clay champion or anything like that. And I'm going to be better. That was, it's a little embarrassing for me to kind of do something off the grid like tennis. And the way that he got smoked, it looked like I was uneducated, and it was embarrassing. So I just at least wanted to get that one out of the way there. I thought it actually would be funny to kind of like do something different than football, you know, or something like that. So Dan, I'm embarrassed about it. I'm gonna move on, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. So I just want to give you guys a heads up. I've had a rough week. I've had a lot of bad stuff going on in my family. I have not been around to do nearly as much research as I usually do, so don't kill me if I don't have a lot of picks tonight. I probably have one, I think, that I'm going to have, but that's probably it. So okay. I'll probably have one pick tonight, and that'll probably be it. Also, in terms of the NFL, I I cannot hit an NFL play right now, so I would suggest that you fade me in regards to the NFL. College last week, I went 2-2. We hit both the dogs. I called for ECU on the money line, said that line should be flipped. They won by 20. I had Texas A&M. They won. Luckily, that was pure luck. They were pretty even with Florida. That game could have gone either way. They won outright. I hope you guys got some on the money line in that one. The BC under loss, but at least for me, if you got a 45, which we talked about being the key number, it would have been fantastic if Pittsburgh didn't hit a fucking 58-yard field goal to tie the game, but they did. And, of course, missed an extra point in overtime, and BC wins that game outright. And then I had Virginia, who absolutely no-showed versus NC State. Joe, that NC State team is very good. So just kind of wanted to recap last week. And then my two NFL picks, I had the Colts and I had the Chiefs. The Chiefs lose outright in a divisional game. Classic. I'm the one who brought down the Chiefs. And then the Colts, Rivers was terrible, throws a pick six, and that's probably the difference in the game right there. So, you know, it's just right now I would fade the fuck out of my NFL because I can't hit anything. So I probably will not have anything today. So anyways, what's getting to everything?
Well, Dan, on a few notes, like personal plays for me, the Clemson game, it was 59 and a half or 60. It landed on 59, or was it 58? I forget. And then last night, the game was 58, and it landed on 57.
Yeah, and I think it was 58 and a half.
And listen, it's no excuse. It's just sometimes you got to be on the right side of it.
And that has not been us in the past month and a half. That has not been us. Together we have not been good. We have not.
Yeah, I mentioned this on Tucker and Rich this morning. It's dude, last year we were a juggernaut, man, and we mentioned the 80 almost 80% first 5-6 weeks.
It was ridiculous.
And I am not blaming COVID. It's a different year. It's different. What's different is there's this gambling Twitter, right? People are like, oh, who does this guy like? Who does that guy like? And you know, Dan, for people who want to get on us, like, just fade the picks, dude. We're a great resource right now. You want to win money? Fade those guys, you know?
I agree. I think we're hitting something around, like, 42% in the past month. We're not doing well.
But the thing is like, you know, like, last night, I loved Coastal Carolina last night. Yeah, I just didn't want to make the pick because I figured if I'm going to make the pick, like, it's going to go belly up. And Coastal Carolina won outright. So yep. It was like, nope, I'm not putting it to paper. I'm not putting it on Twitter. I'm not doing it. And they won. So, like, you know, I feel like I'm on the – all right, today we're on the right side. We won one last night, even though it wasn't posted, you know? Like, that's how I feel. And, you know, it's weird. Like, oh, I like this team. Well, so maybe we should go the other way. This happens, man. Dude, we're in week six of the NFL right now. Week six. We're almost 7 weeks in – I mean, we're almost getting halfway to the year, and we still haven't figured it out yet. And there's so many trends in the NFL where, like, dude, there are, like, five teams that are 0-5 against the spread. You know, college football, it's week to week because we don't know if the games are going to be played. You know, maybe there was, like, some sandwich games last week that happened. There were a bunch of upsets, man. Like, you know, again, you thought that Florida would go down. Boom, they did. But there were just some games last weekend that I was like, just looking at it with a weird eye, especially college football, where I was like, damn, like I was off on that one. Or like Texas, Oklahoma, that thing went way over the total, but I just didn't see, I don't know. Georgia ended up having a huge second half, but they sucked first half. You know, Ole Miss, like they completely hung around with Alabama. Notre Dame didn't cover. Who had North Carolina throwing up 56 points, right? BYU, like, you know, UTSA hung around. Iowa State just went through Texas Tech. Like, those were your top 25 games last week. And then this week's obviously a bigger
Don't forget Louisville losing too.
Louisville lost. That's right, on Friday night to Georgia. Nobody had that. You know how I just mentioned gambling Twitter. Nobody had that. And I last night, everyone was on ULL. Everybody was on ULL, and I'm just looking at it like, I always liked Coastal. I know ULL was ranked. I just, you know, I watched Coastal every week.
But like, I mean, Lafayette was very sharp. Went from 7 to 9.5, and I told you that. If the game was last Saturday, I think we're looking at a different game because Coastal's coming off a pretty big win. Lafayette's coming off a break. Now you get an extra 3-4 days in there, and I feel like you get extra preparation. You're not in a massive spot. So I thought Coastal – I ended up having Lafayette at 7 and decided if I could have gotten Coastal at 10, I would go back. So I tried the middle of it, and obviously I made nothing off it. I actually lost a little bit because of the juice. So because I Coastal ended up getting a 10, I ended up getting a 10. So I was hoping for, you know, a nice little middle there, but I obviously didn't get that.
Yep. So anyways, it's not an excuse making. It's not any of that. We're just discussing it. It's, you know, it's fucking hard. And, you know, it's this is a grind.
We have been bad. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. I mean, listen, does COVID make things different? Yeah, it makes things different for everyone. It's not just us. It makes things different for us. So, no, it's not an excuse. And yeah, we just haven't been good. We can, especially me. Like, especially me in the NFL, I've really not been good. I'll fucking own that all day, up and down. Yeah. I've been okay in college football, and I've made some money on the money line up. But in NFL, no, I'm over right now.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Right now, I'm, you know, every week I'm pulling up the primer and I'm looking up what the trends are, and you know, I'm not doing a model or anything like that. And you know, I feel like I'm almost there. Like I think I'm like. You know, I'm interested for this week, dude. I'm doing the Capper's Cup, as you know, Dan, and I sending in my picks every week. I'm in third place right now. But the thing about the Capper's Cup is you get points if you put in what's your best play of the week. Well, I've hit my best play. You know what I mean? So that's why. So like, you know, I feel like I'm getting there, and I think this week will be a big week. But if we're starting with it, and let's get into it. There's a game tonight, but which we'll wait on. I want to wait on that for a little bit. But if you think about it, on Friday night we have two top 25 teams that are very similar. That, you know, one has a good defense, and then, you know, the first game at 6 o'clock on Friday night is SMU versus Tulane. SMU, we know what they could do, right? We saw that game against Memphis. We know that they have Shane Boucher, who can you know, throw the football. We know they got a good running back. They got a kicker. But their defense is, you know, ho-hum. Well, they're 6.5-point favorites on the road to a Tulane team that has hung around and scored points. Now, they lost to Houston a week ago. They were up early. They had the two turnovers. We know that they can put up points. But can they stick with SMU? Like, that's the question. And then SMU had a week off now. Tulane's at home. It's that, like, Friday night home dog, 6 o'clock early game, where I think SMU should win the game. But the way that Tulane's played, it's like I feel like they're going to hang around in this one.
Yeah, I mean, again, my prep work this week is much less than it has been in past weeks. Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe eyeballing it might be a little bit better than that.
maybe that's a good thing, the way we've been trending. But, I mean, SMU is going to get the majority of the bets here in this situation. I don't think that's really, you know, questionable. For ranked team on the road. You know, open at 6.5. It's down to 6 at Bookmaker now. I'll just get the official lines up here at Bookmaker. But nonetheless, you know, the books are absolutely going to need one. Their books are absolutely going to need SMU. And I expect the books are probably going to need Houston. I know that there was a sharp release earlier this week of BYU at 3 or 3.5. That's now up to 5 already. You know, we saw what Houston did last week and, you know, kind of everything there. Yep, SMU is -6 now, -108. So, I mean, we saw everything that, you know, that BYU did last week. We saw what Houston did last week in their opening game. Rolled Tulane. I mean, they just did. They were the better team. I know that they were down early, but they were the better team, 49 points. You know, whatever. And BYU,
a lackluster performance against UTSA, 27-20. We talked about that. I thought UTSA would score some points. I thought BYU would score more than 27. So that is a disappointing game. But I wonder if they were looking ahead to this week, Joe. I do wonder if they're looking ahead to this Houston team and, you know, maybe prepping for, you know, Clayton Tune and what Houston is going to do. I just don't think that they really took UTSA too seriously. But we're going to find out. Before we get into that BYU game, what are your thoughts on Tulane at home next week? Because I think that it's I think it's an interesting spot. The total has moved from 69.5 to 64.5. So we're looking at, you know, some legitimate movement towards, you know, the under there as well, despite the fact that we're getting the majority of the bets on the over.
I think Tulane has blown leads. They've gotten, I mean, I only think that they got off to a lead against Houston because of the turnovers. Tulane's blown two leads. They have non-conference wins against South Alabama and Southern Miss. So take what you want out of that. They give up a ton of yardage. They give up a ton of points. And I don't know. I just feel like you can't do that against SMU. Last year, SMU won 37-20 in late November. Tulane's a different team this year. I think they were better last year, personally. I think Southern Methodist is better this year. I do know that they lost their running back against Memphis. Well, they're not their star, but their backup running back, what's his name, TJ McDaniel. So he got hurt, but you know, they have their other back there. But you know, just off the bat here, I mean, the only thing I'm concerned about here is, you know, the 6.5, like the half point. And then the other thing is like, you know, could Tulane get off to a lead, and then Southern Methodist, you know, has to have this comeback again. I like SMU, dude. I like SMU in the spot. They need this win. It's just about going on the road, or they're distressed. Like, there's a lot of things to put in there, but I think Shane Boucher is 14-3 since transferring from Texas, and I don't think Tulane's going to stop him at rank 17 coming off a win against Memphis.
The one thing that does concern me a little bit for SMU is the spot, coming off a big win at home versus Memphis, a little bit of a letdown, short week, and now they have to travel on the road. Again, not exactly a massive travel to go to Tulane, but still, you know, on the road, short week, coming off a big win. This is certainly a letdown spot for SMU if there was one. And they got to look ahead to Cincinnati next week, who, again,
their game got canceled this week, too.
Yep, so ranked number 8 in the country. To me, if you're backing SMU, I think this is probably – if you're a big SMU guy, I think this is probably the worst game to back them. And I'm not telling you to go out there and take Tulane. I'm just saying if you're breaking down the spot for SMU, coming off big win on a short week, looking ahead to Cincinnati, this is probably the most dangerous spot on SMU's entire schedule. And I would be – I mean, I think that that's probably why you're seeing the 6.5 and not the 7. Now you're down to 6, which is – my assumption is it's a bit of a sharp move considering it opened at 6.5 and you're getting, you know, 60% of the bet or whatever early on SMU. So I would say that that is a bit of, you know, a concern, and the spot in this one is legitimate. So – I know certainly I'm not going to be backing SMU. I'm not personally, you know, telling you to play Tulane or that I'm going to be on Tulane, because I'm not. I'm just saying the spot for SMU is concerning if you're looking to back them. That's all. And I think that is why you're seeing a short line, because I don't think Tulane is, you know, Tulane doesn't belong in the 6-point conversation with SMU, even at home. You know, SMU at home probably should be 15-ish points, you know, fave, something like that, against a Tulane team. So I don't know. I do think the spot kind of plays into the line here.
SMU hasn't been great against the spread either.
They've been better. The week one against Texas State was bad, but they pulled through. They definitely covered versus North Texas. They covered, I believe they covered versus SF Austin. I believe they covered versus Memphis. So I believe that
the field goal. Yep.
So I believe they're 3-1 against the spread, which is not terrible. Tulane, if you remember, they won their first game versus South Alabama, which was, I thought, a really impressive win for them. Then they're up 24-0 on Navy going in the half, and they lose 27-24.
one of the worst halves of football I've seen Tulane play. Then the next week they take out their frustrations on Southern Miss and put a 66 spot and then lose to Houston last week, I think, in pretty bad fashion. So, you know, we'll see. And again, it's not exactly the best spot for Tulane either. They have UCF next week. So, they go from, you know, tough to tough. It, you know, this is not exactly a super fantastic spot for them either. I'm just saying the reason to not back SMU in this spot is because of, you know, kind of everything that's going on with their schedule there.
All right. Moving on, you got BYU Houston. We saw Houston. People might buy into the recency bias. I just thought they cut through Tulane. They made mistakes early on in the game. They could have scored 60 points if they wanted to. Right now, it opened up at 3.5. It's 5. Houston's at home. They're a home dog, a real home dog here. You know, Tune, to me, I know can play. I didn't love him. I don't think he threw the ball great. BYU to me, and this is what it comes down to, BYU's comfortable. They've had pretty much a decent, easy schedule. Let's call it what it is. But they've blown through everybody. Now, last week was a 27-20. I call that a sandwich game, Dan. I think they just looked ahead. Their defense is good. They have a good quarterback. This is a game they need. They need this one. Now, the 5 points, that changes things. The 3.5 off the bat makes you think, you know. To me, though, like, Houston at home means a lot, especially with Tune at quarterback. I want to know what BYU can do away from Provo. But here, I think the defense of BYU, that kid Kafusi, their linebacker, that kid's a fucking stud. And I just want to know what that BYU game plan can do against Houston. I think BYU has its best team it's had in years. I know Houston's only played that one game, but this BYU team is good. And here, I know there's going to be a lot of love for them, but I think their defense is good and can try to contain Houston. The points are what really bothers me. Like, is BYU going to run away with this thing? Because I think it's going to be a close game. That BYU defense is good, and I think they can score on that Houston defense.
Yeah, I mean, and again, we don't really know what the Houston defense is, you know, super well yet. Obviously, one game is not going to tell you the full story. And, you know, it's kind of hard to take a, one game seriously. Now, again, I think that win for Houston was impressive. They got down early because of the turnovers. They battled back. Tune looked like he shook off some rust, especially early on, and I thought that he was much better later in the first half and the second half. So I was pretty impressed by, you know, what they were able to kind of put together, you know, as the game went on. BYU, I think we kind of talked about it. I think it was a good look at spot for them. Coming off that, you know, just mashing of Louisiana Tech, looking at UTSA. I know UTSA has been good this year. Their record reflects they've been good. I don't think they're still that good. And so, therefore, I think that BYU, you know, had a clear look at. And I think that maybe, you know, we should have looked into that more, because that could have been a nice spot to take UTSA. I think the spread was in the mid-20s there, something like that.
All I can tell you, Dan, the stakes are very high for BYU in this game. They win this game, dude, they could sneak into the top 10, run the table. And, like, I don't know if they'd be considered, you know, a playoff team. I don't think they have the schedule, the strength of schedule. But they have more on the line here than Houston does, and that's a fact.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I do. I am very much concerned about that November 6th game at Boise State. I mean, that is definitely the game they've circled.
And Mountain West hasn't played, so, you know.
Yeah, they definitely have circled that one. And then they basically have like 2 weeks off and face Northern Alabama, and have a month off and face San Diego State. So, I mean, like, they do have a little bit of, like, an interesting schedule coming up. I wonder if they get caught by Boise or San Diego State. I feel like if you're going to be on, if you're asking me, and if you're asking me to take BYU or SMU, I'm going to tell you it's BYU. I have no interest in playing Tulane just because of the fact that, you know, I can't trust that team after what they've done earlier in the season. And, you know, I think it's probably a little bit too early for me to kind of go in on, you know, BYU here or Houston. So I'm probably going to avoid the Friday night games, maybe look for a total.
But BYU, this is a massive game for them, as you said. I think they're going to be super focused. And, you know, Houston, to be perfectly honest with you, Joe, how big of a game is this for Houston? You know, it's a non-conference game. So this ultimately, outside of them, you know, being ranked in the top 10, I don't think it really means as much as it could.
I agree with that. And that's why I think it's BYU or nothing here. I think BYU is a good team. And granted, I know that the schedule, you can look at it. I think they're prepared. I think they're ready to go. I think the defense is good, dude. They're one of the best defenses in the country. Again, I know that has a lot to do with their schedule, but BYU has a chance here, man. If they could beat Boise and run the table, they could be a New Year's 16. I saw this early on. Like, I think they see it too. I think they look at it like, man, this could be our year. Like, this might be their 1 year, actually, unless they get the recruits and keep going. But I don't know, man. They're capable of making a statement here. And I know they have made statements already, but in this game, for me, it's BYU or nothing. It means more for BYU.
Yep. No, I totally agree with that. I agree with that assessment there. Non-conference game for Houston. BYU, this is probably one of their three best games on the schedule, unless they reschedule Army. If they reschedule Army, then, you know, maybe we're looking at, okay, Army, Houston, Boise State, San Diego State, you know, you're probably grouping that in a group of four, and if you drop one of those, so be it. But, yeah, this is a really, really important game for BYU on the road. I think they're going to be super focused on this one. And, I do think that, you know, this is a game where Houston kind of looks at their schedule and say, well, we want to beat this team. You know, we've waited so long to kind of get into it, but, you know, we're at Navy next week. We got UCF coming up. We have a tough schedule in the American. We still got to face Memphis. We still got to face SMU. How much do we want to show in this game early on? Because, you know, how seriously are we going to take the American compared to the one non-conference game we have? So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I agree. It's BYU in the spot or nothing.
Moving on, Saturday at noon, Clemson travels to Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech off that win against Louisville last week. They look good. Clemson obviously beat Miami convincingly in the rain. 27-point favorites against Georgia Tech this week. Now, in my opinion, I think they should roll. They should win this game by four touchdowns. Why do I feel like Georgia Tech's going to, you know, I don't know, man, actually. Now that I think about it, is that defense going to shut down that kid, the quarterback of Georgia Tech, Sims, is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. That kid surprised me. We've talked about him every week, right? They've kind of been impressive, especially in the ACC. I'm not going to bet this one. I'm not. To me, it's always Clemson or nothing here, but can this kid do something against that Clemson defense? And I'm going to say no.
I mean, I do think that if Clemson ends up putting in their second half defense and, you know, Georgia Tech kind of pulls back and does the thing like Virginia did. And, you know, of course, Virginia convinced me with that second half game, you know, versus Clemson, you know, they were kind of come back. They were, you know, kind of get something going. It's a potential we see the Georgia Tech in the same, you know, type of spot here. You know, coming off a really big win versus Louisville, they dominated Louisville up front. They were the more physical team. They were the more creative team. I watched the large majority of that game, and I really thought that Sims was outstanding. And, you know, Cunningham was really good for Louisville at times, but, you know, he was outstanding. Clemson, again, this is sort of a letdown here, Joe. I mean, like, you know, they get probably their second biggest win on the schedule. I'd say Miami was, you know, Miami and Notre Dame. Those are the two. And at the end of the year, you have Virginia Tech. But I think that Miami with De'Aaron King, ranked number 7, that was a massive win for them. Notre Dame is a really big game for them as well. I don't want to back Georgia Tech because I think it's maybe a week or two early. Looking at the Clemson game versus BC, I think there's potential. But this is a legitimate letdown spot for Clemson, and I think we're kind of seeing that reflected in the line. It's at 26.5, not 28, you know, per bookmaker. It did open, and I'll see if I can find the opening number here, at 27. So you have seen a little bit of movement,
towards Georgia Tech. I don't know how much, you know, that really means. It's, you can't really take anything off that. I do wonder, the total at 63.5, Joe, how much do we see Clemson really score this week offensively? They haven't put up over, you know, they're coming off a massive offensive performance versus Miami. Or do they kind of keep it a little bit more basic this week? Maybe not try and show too much coming up in Notre Dame in a few weeks. I don't know. I do think that this is a Georgia Tech spot potentially, but it's super hard to back them. No. It is. It's super hard to back them.
Yeah, I think they won last week. They're going to lose this week, and it might be bad.
I mean, I guess that's possible, yeah. But again, Clemson's coming off that big win. It could be a disappointment for them.
Yep. No lean really on the total there. I just think that Clemson's defense is so good. They're a complete team. I don't know anybody's going to beat them. I haven't seen a team yet that I think could beat them.
Bama could.
Yeah. I just haven't, you know, Bama hasn't been convincing.
Agreed.
Have they won? Have they won and looked good? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Convincing? Speaking of convincing, Miami, Pittsburgh. Miami no-showed against Clemson. But what's up with Pittsburgh losing two in a row? Their last two games, they've lost by a combined two points. Kenny Pickett got hurt, so he's got an injury, but he's going to play.
It sounds like he's probable.
Okay, so he's banged up. And the other thing is, dude, they gave up so many yards in the air to BC. Like, so now we know that Miami can attack that. We know Miami's got that big-ass tight end there they can throw to. The last two times Miami has won this matchup, they've owned it. I just think Pitt's secondary stinks. And I think Miami bounces back here. And I know Pitt has, again, had those two losses, but it's been hurry. You miss a field goal? Like, that's a terrible way to lose. I just think that Miami's the superior team. And, hey, listen, if Pittsburgh wins this game, both teams are 3-2, right? Both teams are 3-2.
I think that Pittsburgh would be 4-2 if they win this game.
Oh, sorry. Miami won 16-12 last year. I apologize. No, I'm saying Miami would be 3-2.
Yeah.
Because of the obviously one loss. But Miami won this game last year 16-12. Ugly. Ugly game.
Yeah, again, I mean, Pittsburgh started off 3-0. We look at their wins, Austin Peay, Syracuse, and Louisville. Miami's three wins. UAB, which to me is still the most impressive at this point. Louisville. And FSU. We now know that Louisville win is no longer impressive on either of these resumes, right? I mean, they just got crushed by Georgia Tech. It feels like every week they're getting their ass kicked by someone, which, by the way, goes to show you how bad is Western Kentucky losing to Louisville by multiple scores. But nonetheless, Pittsburgh's lost the last 2 weeks. They lose by a point to NC State, then lose on a missed extra point to BC in the game. By the way, that game should not have gone overtime. Their kicker had a 58-yard field goal just to bring it to overtime.
Hey, they brought it. I know. The kid hits that but misses the extra point.
Oh, brutal. Miami, I mean, I think that they have to go down a peg, right? They're not in Clemson's league. Clemson beats them 42-17. Just an ass kicking. It wasn't close. The game was never close. It almost felt like it was never in doubt, and I don't know. It feels like Miami, you look at the resume, you say they're probably overrated. You look at Pitt's resume, you say they're probably overrated. I do think the Miami hopefully bounces back. I mean, it opened at 11. It's up to 13.5 now, okay? So there definitely has been some movement on this one. The total is at 47.5, Joe. All right, it opened at 51. It's on the 47.5. This is going to be interesting because I expect Derek King to, as you said, kind of attack Pittsburgh through the air. And if Miami kind of, you know, stays away from Cameron Harrison in their run game and makes Pittsburgh defend the pass, we've talked about Kenny Pickett all year. I don't know if Pittsburgh can score enough points to keep up with Miami offensively. So this one's tough. I think that it's hard for me to want to back either of these teams.
Yeah, 13.5 is a lot. I mean, it is.
I still think Miami, I would rather back Miami if you're making me. But maybe I'd look over. You know, again, maybe I'd look over here because You know, Derek King can, you know, Miami can score. Pittsburgh has been scoring some points. I just don't think that they're going to be able to score, you know, 30 and kind of keep up with Miami there. So maybe it'll go over. I don't know.
Moving on, Auburn goes to South Carolina. Auburn's on my list, dude. So they're on the list. Can you make a pitch for South Carolina here getting 3 points, Dan? Because this is pretty square.
I mean, you beat Kentucky. If you're Auburn, you beat Kentucky. I don't think they were the better of those two teams. I know they win by 16, but again, I'm going to continue to go back to that one all season. I think Kentucky was the better team. You get crushed by Georgia. You're winning convincingly by Arkansas, and you need
17-0. They were up. Just so.
Yep. They were crushing Arkansas. The game was out of hand early, and they let them back in. And you needed a field goal to win. And I thought that the refs basically handed it to them. They got very lucky in that situation. Auburn has been probably the most disappointing team I've seen so far in the SEC. South Carolina, you know, they cover versus Florida. They lose by 14, but they cover versus Florida. They cover versus Tennessee. They lose by 4, but, you know, that win looks a little bit better. The two losses look pretty good. And they kind of go out and they drill Vanderbilt 41-7 in a game where you would hope to see something from them. The spread is 3. Or 3.5 now, excuse me. Auburn's now 3.5. I would feel pretty shitty about taking Auburn here, just seeing how they played the first few weeks. That would be my case. My case would be, do you think South Carolina is better than Arkansas? Because South Carolina just played them super tough, and now Auburn's on the road in South Carolina. You know, the only thing I will say is South Carolina, you know, travels next week to LSU. So, you know, it's not exactly a beautiful schedule spot, and Auburn is on the road versus Mississippi. So it's not like, you know, they're looking ahead. They're not looking past the South Carolina team, most likely, you know, coming off that Arkansas game. I don't know. I think that this is – it would be a South Carolina or nothing spot for me in this one, Joe. I refuse to back Auburn except in certain situations, and I don't think you can back them in this one.
I'll save it for everybody. Auburn's on the list. Don't do it. Kentucky, Tennessee. I said this last week, I didn't make a pick or anything. I just didn't think Kentucky would start 0-3, and Mississippi State they looked terrible. They looked terrible. Tennessee came, looked like they hung around early with Georgia, and then it was just a fuck show. Tennessee 6 points here, dude. I like Kentucky. I'm gonna just throw that out there right now.
Yeah, this is the one I've been considering this week. Tennessee has Alabama next week at home. It's the biggest game on their schedule. Outside, I mean, you could make a case for A&M. I still don't think that's even close to Florida. Auburn, I mean, for the love of God, the fact that they're still ranked is bewildering. But, you know, Kentucky has Georgia next week. So, you know, this is a good test for them on the road. I just think that, you know, if you're looking for a spot, Tennessee got crushed last week in the second half. They're, you know, coming out and looking ahead to Alabama, skipping over this Kentucky team who's 1-2. I think this is, as you said earlier, I think this is Kentucky or nothing. I think that this is the perfect spot for Tennessee to need a last-second field goal or something to, you know, win this game. Even though it's in Knoxville, I would not be shocked if Tennessee wins by 3. The spread kind of tells you everything you need to know in this one, Joe, at least in my opinion. You know, it opened at 6.5. It's down to 6. I very much like Kentucky. This is my favorite spot of the week here. And you know what? Fuck it. I will give out one. I said I give out one play. Here's my one play. PP Kentucky. I'm going back, even though I probably shouldn't, +6.
Feel the same way, Dan. I'm not going to double PP it or anything. But only thing that concerned me was that Kentucky's offense wasn't great last week versus Mississippi State. They had 6 interceptions, which put them in great territory, but they converted on drives. They finished. They scored touchdowns. And I think that's just a good building block for Nick going on the road. And listen, these two teams played last year. Tennessee won 17-13. This is without Wilson. So
to be fair there, Joe, to be fair there, Guarantano was not good. He had the interception. I didn't think he moved the ball well down the air. 52.8 quarterback rating, QBR. Just, you know, 22-36, 215, a 6-yard passing average. Again, I know that the Georgia defense is significantly better, but he wasn't anything to be cracked up about. Obviously, he wasn't Costello bad, but still, I am a little bit worried. Oh, looks like is Twitter back up and working? Not yet. Not yet. We're getting there. We might be getting there soon, Joe.
Yeah, I got a little bit of life on there. We're on YouTube. Thank you for everybody. I'm glad we used that as a backup method for people to watch us live, and you can chat in. And we have 25 people watching on YouTube, which I'm kind of impressed, actually, that people have watched. Usually we get like 200 on Twitter, but, you know, it's COVID times, right? Twitter,
it's okay.
Twitter crimes, I guess we can.
It's okay.
We can call them. All right. So let's just knock out these noon games, dude. So here's one that I think is going to be the squarest play of the noon times. Liberty goes to Syracuse. Liberty's 4-0. They're rolling. Now, I liked Syracuse the last game. I believe they won and covered. This is square, very square, Dan. But remember, last year, Syracuse shut them out 24-0.
I was on Liberty. That was one of my only losses, like the first.
This,
like,
this was like something I remember vividly.
Yep. I do too.
I don't see a revenge spot, and it's at Syracuse this year.
Yeah, Syracuse did not win in cover last week. By the way, they got crushed by Duke.
They lost. That's what it was. I had Duke over Syracuse. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. No. You know. Yeah. I mean, Liberty. Look at their schedule so far, Joe. At Western Kentucky, they got killed by Louisville. How good is that Western Kentucky team? I'll give them credit on the FIU win. I do think the Florida International win was good, but how good is Florida International? Like, you know, they're 0-2 so far. They lose to Mid-Tennessee State last week. So, you know, that's kind of concerning. North Alabama, they beat by 21. And then Louisiana Monroe, who I think is personally the worst Division I team played so far. UMass plays this week. But so far, Monroe, Liberty might be the worst 4-0 team we've seen in a while. I think there's a legitimate argument for Syracuse here, especially getting 3.5 now in this spot. Just saying, the total in this one is 53. I'm not really sure where to go on the total, but in my opinion, I think this is Syracuse or nothing. Regardless of how bad Syracuse has been, at least they're playing upper echelon talent. Lose to UNC, lose to Pitt, win at home versus Georgia Tech, lose to Duke last week. The one problem with Syracuse is they're at Clemson next week. So it's like, I definitely can't back Syracuse because this is probably a look at it for them as well. But I'm just saying, you know, if there is a spot, you know, Syracuse is probably the team, but I refuse to bet it.
These minus threes at noon, dude, woof.
Dangerous.
Be careful. Especially like Auburn, Syracuse, you know, Liberty, like just these teams. Ugh, it's not good. Just while we're on it, Texas State, South Alabama. I know South Alabama's been the, you know, pretty good defensively this year.
Physical team.
Yeah, they're 2.5-point favorite. I got nothing here, but I would, you know, Texas State's playing everybody tough.
I really don't know what to think about this one, Joe. Texas State, 0-4 outside that Monroe spot. I thought they lost to BC by 3, but we kind of talked about that. They caught BC in a good week, like before the week they played. You know, UNC was a pretty good spot for them. They get killed by Troy. You know, who's coming off the break. They played SMU well to open the season. They lose to UTSA. I think South Alabama is the better team, but they just got drilled by UAB a couple weeks ago, 42-10. So, you know, this one's going to be tough. I would say that South Alabama is probably the better of the two teams, but I really don't know what to think on this one. maybe some points. I mean, maybe you're looking for some points here. But yeah, South Alabama is a physical team. It's in Mobile, but still, I just don't know what you're going to get from that South Alabama team week to week so far.
Another one, South Florida at Temple. Temple lost last week to Navy. I don't like South Florida. I always fade South Florida. It's like one of these things for me. This could be a bounce back game for Temple here. I don't know much about Temple. I only saw them a little bit against Navy a week ago, and I know what South Florida is. 11 points for a noon game. I'd love to jump on Temple. I don't know it. I don't see it.
I mean, we talked about South Florida last week, Joe, and I feel pretty good about that South Florida. The line closed at 6, and they lost by 20. I mean, the fact that they were favored in the game versus ECU is baffling. Temple is the better team here for sure. On the road at Temple, they're now one in three. Their win is against the Citadel. How good is that win? They got the shit kicked out of them by ECU.
Yep.
At home. That's scary. I'm not sure if Temple at home. The one thing I will say, look ahead on the road at Memphis next week for Temple, Joe. So like this can be a look ahead spot, which is why I'm not going to touch Temple. But I just feel like Temple. I don't think Temple loses the game for the love of God. I mean, that's the best I can say on this one. I would expect Temple to cover, but a look ahead spot means that you can't touch it. You just can't.
Two more noon games. Navy's ranked, dude. They're ranked 24th in the country. They play East Carolina this week.
I thought Navy was no longer ranked. Are they ranked now?
I'm looking at 24 in the country, 23 in the country. How's BC not ranked? Anyways, yikes, huh? This game here, something tells me it's Navy here. I don't know why. Just like staring at the line. Actually, last year, yeah, Navy won 42-10 last year easily. That was a different Navy team now. There's going to be 3,500 fans at the game.
I got to be honest with you, Joe. I don't have a good feel on this one at all. I don't know what ECU team are we going to see. The problem with Navy is they're going to have to score. Like ECU.
Yeah, Navy's won 4 in a row in the series.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely own that ass in the series. The problem is they scored 31 versus Temple last week. Can they do that again? Because they probably need to get into the mid-30s this week against CCU. That would be my assumption here is they, the total went from 62.5 to 55.5. I think they got to get into the mid-30s this week to beat ECU, who has scored 28 versus UCF, 29 against Georgia State, and now 44 versus South Florida. I think they got to get into the 30s to win this game. So that would be the way I look at it. If you think Navy can get in the 30s, then you like Navy. I don't feel good about it.
I don't know if I feel well putting my money on Navy at this point, but nope. I'm losing it anyways. Kansas, West Virginia. West Virginia is 22.5 point favorites. I hate it. And Kansas 0-3. Like, they got to show a little bit of fight here, right? Like, this might be the game to do it, but we know West Virginia is a tough place to play. Let's see if there's any trends from last year. And I know the different teams here. I don't know. Kind of back Kansas in this one. I'm not betting this game by any means. No. But we talk about every single game, and we look for an edge somewhere. 0-3 Kansas. They haven't been good. Yeah, last year Kansas covered. It was West Virginia 29-24. That was in Kansas.
I mean, to be fair, did you watch the West Virginia Baylor game?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you think that West Virginia deserved to win that game? Because I didn't.
I just think Baylor beat themselves. I mean,
I thought the refs beat Baylor. So I thought that was an embarrassing performance by the refs. I thought the refs handed West Virginia that win. And it was an early 12:00 game. Books absolutely need West Virginia. Feel like they could get see some, could see some payback this week, Joe. Maybe a little payback here. I'm certainly not betting Kansas. I learned my lesson against Baylor. I probably won't be backing them unless it's a fucking tremendous spot the rest of the season. But I will say, it's a lot of fucking points. It's a lot of points. You know, 22 and a half points. I think you're going to see books absolutely need Kansas too. Like that, my guess is you're going to see books need Kansas real bad. So don't be surprised if there's some shady shit that goes on in this 12 o'clock game. That's all.
Le'Veon Bell has a new home. I'll tease that because people can't find it on Twitter. Ha ha ha. But I know where he went because I have that kind of special skills.
Do you know where he went?
Yeah, I do, but I'll save it.
I do as well.
So we'll save it when we talk NFL. So we're done with the noon, Stan.
Okay.
We are on to
1:30.
Army San Antonio. Texas San Antonio. Yeesh. Mm. 7.5, huh? If I was going to flip a coin on this one, I'd probably take Army.
I think I'm – this is a game I'm going to look deeper in. But UTSA coming off a 7-point loss to BYU and a loss to UAB. Two of probably their bigger games on the schedule now they face Army. 4-1, Army was really bad last week versus the Citadel. They won 14-9. They were really bad. So I think that maybe because they were bad last week, you're seeing a little bit of shit on the spread here. When we get back to you on Saturday again, if you missed the top of the show, I have not been doing a lot of research this week. I apologize for that. So I will, you know, try and do what I can to kind of get back into it. But I do think I'll look in the Army on this one, Joe. The total, by the way, 49.5 now in this one. 49.5. I wonder if this could be a low-scoring, grinded-out game. I do.
All right, recency bias, UAB minus, you know, getting basically giving two touchdowns to Western Kentucky. UAB, man, 2-0 at home. They got that one loss against Miami, which looks good now, right? They beat up on a Western Kentucky team. They're 4-1. Boom, they're back in this bitch. Western Kentucky's been bad. I don't know how you can back them here. I think this is a UAB or nothing spot, especially at home.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. It is kind of tough to know what UAB team you're going to get week to week. I mean, they were not good to open the season. I felt in Miami they were good at points and bad at points. They were fantastic for South Alabama, and then I thought they were terrible versus UTSA. Had a ton of chances to score, didn't score, won 21-13. Western Kentucky got their asses handed to them by Marshall. Western Kentucky's bad, man. I mean, they're real bad. That win versus Mid-Tennessee State looks – Mid-Tennessee State looks just horrendous, like really bad. Western Kentucky faces Chattanooga next week, so maybe they'll get another win. But UAB, off a bye, because their game versus Rice last week was postponed. You would expect for them to give a good performance. But they're facing Lafayette next week, Joe. Louisiana Lafayette on a short week. So I believe that game is
– off a loss.
Next Friday.
Yep.
Right. So this UAB game, they probably will not be focused on Western Kentucky. I would just saying something to watch for, you know, there's a reason you want to back, you know, Western Kentucky. There's a reason. This is definitely a look ahead for UAB.
Don't care about Troy Eastern Kentucky at all, but it's 28.5 points. Total is not on the board. Troy's been a letdown to me. I don't even know if I'd back him here. And I don't know much about Eastern Kentucky, but 28.5 sounds like too many for Troy for me.
Yeah, I got nothing for you.
Louisville, Notre Dame. What I can tell you is this. Opening night or one of the opening weeks last year, Notre Dame faced Louisville. It was at Louisville. Louisville covered late in the game there. Notre Dame's 3-0. They didn't cover last week. Last year was 35-17. So Notre Dame hasn't shown rust. I know what happened last week? Was it turnovers, fumbles or whatever that hurt them?
It just didn't look like they gave a shit. You know what I mean? It just doesn't look like they cared, to be perfectly honest with you.
Louisville's lost three straight. They average 38 points a game. They've lost to Miami, Pittsburgh, and Georgia Tech, and now they play Notre Dame this week. Like, to me, that is the after last week's loss that was demoralizing. Notre Dame needs to play better than it did a week ago. The spread here is 17. I just think Notre Dame, but to your point, Dan, do they care? Because they can show up and beat them. Just show up.
Yeah.
They win by 17 or more? That's the question.
It was definitely one of the sharper plays earlier on this week. There was 14.5. It's up to 17 now. This should be a game that Notre Dame wants to kick the shit out of them. Like, at some point, you got to start impressing the committee. And, you know, a win over Clemson will do it. But, like, the rest of your schedule outside of UNC and Clemson is not good. And, you know, beating up on Louisville, they're talented at least. So, like, at least that will give you something. I don't know. This feels like a game I want to stay the far, far, far away from. To be perfectly honest with you, I will say, Joe, the total's up, was that open at 64? It's down to 62. I do wonder if we'll see some points this week, but I got nothing for you on this game.
How about this one? Ole Miss at Arkansas. Arkansas's getting 2.
Yeah, I mean, how crazy is that Arkansas? Earlier this season, I thought Arkansas would be one of the worst teams in the country. And here they are, 1-2.
Philippe Franks.
With an upset win over Mississippi State, Philippe Franks is playing fantastic.
I gotta give Sam Pittman some credit. He's been pretty good. I've watched him. He's pretty good on the sidelines there, man. Probably a much better coach than I anticipated.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, Joe, how good of a spot is this for Arkansas? Listen to this spot. Ole Miss coming off a loss versus Bama where they were probably super, super, super focused, right? Mm-hmm. Super focused, paying attention to Bama. Ole Miss has Auburn next week, who, again, way more important than Arkansas. Arkansas has a bye next week and then, Texas A&M. So just looking at the scheduling spot here, this is like a dreamboat spot for Arkansas. Feels like they're catching all the breaks early in the season, except for last week where the refs fucked them. I think they should have beat Auburn. To be perfectly honest with you, to be perfectly frank, I think they should be 2-1 instead of 1-2. That's my honest opinion. Now, things only get tougher after this week. They have A&M, Tennessee, Florida, LSU, a break with Missouri, and then Alabama. So they're not winning another game this year except for Missouri. Do they win this game? Right now, we're looking at, what, a two-point spread? Let's see if I can find the official line here, what we're at right now.
Yeah, Mississippi won 31-17 last year, but they're a different team.
Yeah, 1.5 now. Arkansas is plus 1.5, so you're essentially looking at, you know, a minus 115 money line to a plus 105 type thing, or, you know, even. Arkansas in the spot, the lane train could easily go down this week. I don't want to back Arkansas, but goddamn, are they in a fantastic spot. Just saying. They are in a fantastic spot. Have you seen the total in this one, Joe?
75. I lean under right away.
I lean over right away. Over. Because I want nothing to do with it. But again, Mississippi – points-wise, put up 35, 42, 48.
Yep.
If you think Arkansas is going to be close in this game, they're putting up 30, 35. Hmm. You know? So, I mean, if you're expecting Arkansas to stay close in this game, again, Arkansas scored 10, 21, and 28. So they're not exactly a high-flying
offense. Exactly. That's why I just say I don't see it, but – like, you want to talk offense, UCF Memphis is something different. That one's 73. So, like, who do you think scores more points, UCF Memphis or Mississippi Arkansas?
I think that there's a chance that it's Mississippi Arkansas just because of the way things go early on. You know what I mean? The way she goes for all my fans.
All right. The way she goes. Okay. UCF, 2-1. We know what they are. We know what UCF is. High tempo. scoring team, minimal defense that makes terrible.
I told you that Tulsa team was good.
They came back to beat them.
Tulsa has what is that, like two times in a row they beat them?
Yeah, Memphis was trailing 24-0 or something to SMU and came back. They lost on a fumble that SMU came back and kicked the field goal. Like, it was, dude, I had that. It was torturous to watch.
I think it was like 24-10.
It was that fumble. Who's a better quarterback here, Brady or Gabriel?
Right now, it's probably Brady White, but Gabriel's real close. The problem is Gabriel has not been – they have not faced any elite teams so far. I mean, the Georgia Tech win looks good or looks better, right? But the ECU win, how much do you really know there? And the Tulsa loss, that's a bad, bad loss, Joe. I mean, Memphis, at least their loss is to SMU. I think this is not – I'm not impressed so far with UCF. I wonder, especially later in the season as they go on, they face Houston, Temple, and Cincinnati later on, how good is this team really, really going to be? I do worry about what UCF is going to
do. Memphis is a dog, and I don't get it.
I don't either.
At home, something's not right here.
And again, but the public is backing them. 65% of the bet early on UCF, 80% of the money on UCF. And I think that's because they're more of a known brand than Memphis is.
Memphis are fans too. Like, it's, yeah.
I thought Memphis played SMU super tough last week. I thought they were in that game.
Yeah, they've beaten Arkansas State and they lost to SMU.
And they were a breakaway.
Now UCF did beat Georgia Tech. I don't know how you want to take that one. That's a good game, man. I'm going to circle that one because I'm leaning Memphis, but there's got to be something to that line that we're just not seeing with the.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Keen eye right now.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at OverUnder985.
Okay, so we have Duke NC State. Duke off a win, a big win last week. This is like an in-state rivalry game. NC State here. I know they upset last. This is an NC State win for me here. 4.5. I hate 4.5. Duke won last year 38-20. And obviously we know about the kid Bryce. They need this win. Both teams. But for like NC State, they need this game. Their defense hasn't been great. They give up a lot of points. They scored 38 last week. Duke did. So I'm sure they're going to be riding high with their offense playing much better. They had 645 yards last week.
I mean, listen, they were. I did not see any of the game, right? But looking at the box score, Bryce was significantly better. And again, I think that they ran the ball mostly from what I've heard about the game.
that their running game was literally the reason that they dominated the Syracuse team. But what I will say here, Joe, and again, I have not looked an ounce into this game, not even a little bit, so I'm not going to pretend to know. NC State coming off a, say, pretty decent-sized win versus Virginia, gets Duke, and then next week on the road at North Carolina. So hell of a look at spot, against, especially against a 1-4 Duke team. Not advocating for Duke. I'm just saying, if you want a reason to take Duke, there's your big spot. Huge, huge look at for NC State here. 3-1 early. Duke is 1-4. Not exactly a far trip for Duke. So, I mean, you know, it's not like the road trip is going to kill them or anything, with what it's like an hour down the road. So, I mean, this, you know, potentially could be an upset spot this week, Joe. Like, you could really see NC State lose outright this week. I would not be shocked by that. At the same time, Duke's coming off a win, riding high, could be a letdown. So I wouldn't fucking touch it.
All right. And we're done with the 3:30 games. We have a couple of 4 o'clock games as well. And we can't forget about this Arkansas State game that starts in 25 minutes. So
we want to just do that game now.
Yeah. To me, it's Arkansas State. I mean, I know, you know, more about what's it called, who they're playing, more than me, but you know, for me, this is Arkansas State. I've watched them. They've played tough all year. They've put up a ton of points. I'm not sure why the line's 3 and not more. It's 3.5 at some places.
It's bounced back to 3.5 at Bookmaker right now, but it's been bouncing between 3.5 and 3. It has.
Yeah, Georgia State. Logan Bonner, not Boner. Logan Bonner, the quarterback for Arkansas State, has been good this year. And the total's at 72.5. I think Arkansas State gets its first Sun Belt win today and improved to 3-2 on the year.
Yeah, I mean, Arkansas State, again, it's not just Bonner, Joe. It's also Lane Hatcher. So those two guys split time. And they have been all season. You know, they're going to bounce back, obviously, against that CCU, you know, that Coastal Carolina loss a couple weeks ago. And then let's not forget that, Joe. They got crushed. I mean, demolished in that game. Outside of the first, they were probably in it for about the first 15, 20 minutes, and then Coastal Carolina took over. They won 52-23. So, you know, at least now they played two games in a row. They had like 2 weeks between the Coastal Carolina game and their upset win against Kansas State. Now they take on Georgia State. This is going to be interesting. I don't think I would want to play a side. I think I would look more towards the total if I'm going to do it. The Georgia State defense has been less than impressive through two games. Give up 34 to Lafayette, 29 to ECU. Now, those are both two good offensive teams, but the fact is that you're allowing, you know, 30 points a game. I expect Arkansas State to score, you know, this year they scored 24 versus Memphis, then 35 versus Kansas State, 23 versus Coastal, bounced back with 50 last week versus Arkansas. I do expect some points in this game, Joe. I do. I would lean towards the over. I don't feel good about taking a side because I think that Georgia State is criminally underrated in terms of their offensive production and just terms of team. Arkansas State obviously is going to be the more reputable team. They've been better in the conference the last few years. And obviously big win versus Kansas State this year. Played Memphis super close at Memphis. But they got their asses kicked by a conference opponent. Even though it was on the road, still you can't lose by – you know, what is essentially 30 points against a conference rival in the Sun Belt. So I am a little worried for Arkansas State tonight. I do think that you're going to see a legitimate, high-flying offensive game, and that would be the way that I would expect it. I would look over tonight, in my opinion.
There you go. We discussed the Thursday night game tonight. As we move on to the 4 o'clock game, let's take a little break here, Dan, and then we'll get all the – I know we got to start fitting some breaks in our stuff here. So we'll take a little silent break here as I on the Over Under 95 podcast. And as we do that, I'm going to try. No, I still can't connect to the old Twitskies.
Yeah, it's not letting anyone except for verified people.
I'm not cool enough.
Neither
am I. UMass is 31-point dogs against Georgia Southern, and I don't know why, Dan. But I like points. I'm circling it. I don't know not much about UMass this year. I'd love to bet UMass games, though. Oh, remember last year there was one that was, like, real bad. Like, they came back and covered, but it was, like, one of the grossest comebacks ever. It was a little fishy, actually.
I don't know who that was against, but that sounds like a classic UMass football
game.
Oh,
yeah, it was fishy.
I will say, this is the only game on UMass's schedule this year so far. Now, again, they may add some because, you know, college football is weird and whatever. But, yeah, UMass, this is it for them. This is their game. I'm going to say right now, I expect Georgia Southern to overlook this UMass team. They face Coastal Carolina next week at Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina is going to be a ranked team next week. Okay, they are. They're going to be a top 25 ranked team. They've now literally kicked the shit out of Arkansas State. They beat Lafayette in Lafayette. It's a good fucking team. So you have to prep for that team. Georgia Southern needs to prep for that team. I absolutely expect Georgia Southern to overlook UMass this week. I have no idea how bad or good the UMass football team is. My assumption is they absolutely suck again, right? That's my guess. I don't know. I don't know where to go on this one. I really don't. The line is now at 31. It opened 28. But just from the schedule, your only game of the year, this is the only game you've been focusing on if you're UMass. So you're probably pretty prepped for, you know, the Georgia Southern option. And it's the only game that you have. So it's not like travel's a killer. And Georgia Southern probably doesn't give a fuck about you because they're already looking at the Coastal. Just not the best spot to back Georgia Southern. But, of course, it's not a fucking prayer. I'm backing UMass. So that's the way I look at this one.
All right. Virginia plays at Wake Forest. Both of these two teams, their losses this year against Clemson and NC State. Virginia lost last week. Got smoked. That was kind of upset. But what happened was dude got hit in the head there, the quarterback. Brennan Armstrong, he had to leave the game. Yeah. Now, we saw Wake Forest, what they did to Campbell. Wake Forest won this game 27-20. What's the line right now on this one? It's, yeah, UVA minus 2.5. You know what? In normal circumstances, I agree with that. I think they should be favored. I like Wake Forest here, dude. I think Wake Forest, like, their defense stinks. They do. But, man, they can score quickly. Again, I don't think Wake Forest is good this year. Just don't. But based off what I've seen from Virginia, three games, Wake Forest in that back-and-forth game against NC State, just to me, I would back them at home here.
Wake Forest put up 42 on the road at NC State, lost by 3 on the road. Virginia, and again, I'm not backing either of these teams. Virginia lost by 17 at home. There's a difference to me. I think the quality of opponent, I think Wake Forest is probably a better quality team than Virginia. I'm not betting it, but I would just say if you're making me, it's probably the way I'd go.
Where do you go with Texas A&M, Mississippi State? Texas A&M, obviously, you know, just with an upset win against Florida. Mississippi State, choke job against Arkansas, didn't even show up against Kentucky last week. KJ Costello's throwing interceptions left and right. Texas A&M and Dan Mullen got their shit together right now, but it's that evil number of 5 on the road. Yuck. And let's not forget, Mike Leach didn't score a touchdown last week. So you know that they're going to be at least ready to go and score this week.
Yeah, Mississippi State was in a look-ahead spot versus A&M. A&M's coming off a incredibly emotional, big-time win. Mississippi State and Mike Leach are probably fucking furious. They scored 2 points last week.
They didn't even score 2 points.
Yeah, I know. I know that. Their defense did. This is probably like the rebound spot of all rebound spots. Like A&M off a loss or A&M off an emotional win. That's the travel on the road to a team
who is probably looking ahead to this game, who absolutely no-showed last week. Like, this is definitely the best of both worlds. I need to see something from Leach before I back him again, right? Like, I'm not backing Leach and Costello turning the ball over 40 times a game until I see it. But in the reason this is five is because this is a perfect storm. That's why.
Yeah. And you got Leach on one side. Pretty good coaching matchups here, right? Don't you think? I mean,
there we go. I was finally able to tweet it out.
All right. Twitter. Tweeter and the monkey man were hot up for cash. They stayed up all night selling cocaine hash to an undercover cop who had a sister named Jan. For reasons unexplained, she loved the monkey man. I cannot connect.
Sorry, don't worry about it. I got it.
I mean, I'll sing some more if you want me to.
Nope, I put out the YouTube one. Don't worry about
okay,
it.
All right. We're back at Texas A&M. Kellen Mond, KJ Costello. Chicopee, Mass is calling me. I don't know anybody in fucking Chicopee, Mass.
I would not pick it up then. let it
you know,
be.
Somebody always calls during the show, you know, whether it's the Wong father, whether it's the guy, whether, you know what I mean, the wife. Somebody's always calling during the show.
By the way, we'll say one thing about this A&M. Game. The total is 54. Do we actually think that Mike Leach is not going to score a couple touchdowns this week?
Do we think that Texas A&M's not going to score a couple touchdowns this week?
Yeah, that's my point.
So like, what are you implying here, Dan?
I think 54 is way too fucking bad.
All right.
I haven't looked into it, so
I got to tell you, Kellen Mond's better than I thought, and I fucking hate to say that.
He was really good last week. Don't go crazy. Just again, he was really good last week.
Bro, whoa! Really, what was that? Did you hear that?
Yes, but again, Mississippi State's back in Starkville. They'll probably feel a little bit better. So, all right, next game, 5 o'clock, Joe. North Texas on the road at Middle Tennessee State.
Well, North Texas stinks. And Middle Tennessee State's covered. So, therefore, North Texas stinks. We go with Middle Tennessee.
Middle Tennessee has been bad, too. I mean, they got the win versus FIU last week. But
Hey, a win's a win, bro.
Yeah, again, they're 6.5-point favorites. It opened at 7. I don't feel great about anything.
Ooh,
this
one. Mid-Tennessee's giving a touchdown?
6.5 now. So
I don't like that either.
Yeah.
Under total, 72 points? Whoa.
I was going to say, the total in this one's 72, but it's sharp. It opened at 68.5. It's at 72 now.
Yikes. Nothing. Yeah. I'm out on that one. I don't like that one at all. That one's no. Stay away from that one. But how about, all right, let's talk about a team. This dude, I was looking at this game all week, and I loved it, and I never touched it. Marshall. Marshall's legit. 3-0. They're 3-0. They go to, La Tech this week. La Tech getting 2 touchdowns at home? I was trying to look for the matchup last year. So I like Marshall, but now they're going on the road here. Were they on the road last week? I'll have to look that up.
Yes, okay.
Marshall's a good dude. If anybody's watched that, especially that Appalachian State game, they're good. They are good. 3-0 against the spread. Ooh, is 2 touchdowns too many?
I refuse to fade Marshall, but here are their wins so far. They beat Eastern Kentucky to open the season, then their game versus ECU got postponed. So off a bye, they get to face Appalachian State. Their defense was fantastic in the game. They were probably overlooking ECU anyways, a game they were preparing for in App State. They were awesome. Full credit to them. Then they have a bye with Rice, the Rice game postponed. And now, they beat Western Kentucky, who we've talked about how fucking bad Western Kentucky is. At La Tech. La Tech has been better. And, you know, that win versus UTEP last week was not great. And they got killed by BYU. I don't know. I don't know what to expect in this one. I just think if you're going to see, a potential spot to back La Tech, this is it. But I can also see Marshall coming out and beating that ass by like 70. So I don't really know what to do here. Marshall might run the table, Joe. They're 3-0.
Marshall, BYU, New Year's Day.
Marshall is 3-0. If they beat La Tech, their next games are FAU at FIU, Mid Tennessee State, and Charlotte. I think they have a legitimate chance to run the table here. I do. So I do not feel confident backing Marshall. Just don't, or sorry, backing La Tech either.
Okay.
Just don't.
All right. Moving on. What are we? So we're at 5 o'clock.
We're at the 7:30.
Hey, now we're moving along here.
We're at the 7:30. We got like 4 or 5 games left.
Southern Miss, Texas, El Paso, vomit. UTEP's getting 6 from Southern Miss. UTEP is getting 6.
But it's UTEP.
UTEP's getting 6 from Southern Miss.
It's still UTEP.
It doesn't look good to me. It just doesn't look right.
Yeah, it opened at 4, too.
God, we have so many games.
UTEP probably wins this game. I got nothing on this one, but UTEP probably wins this game, right?
Yeah. It doesn't look right.
Gross game.
Is North Carolina going to kick the shit out of Florida State or what?
This is weird, dude. North Carolina opened at 8. It's up to 13.5 now. You know where that's coming from.
Oh, and we've seen North Carolina not cover against BC, start out slow against Pitt, against Syracuse, right? Like, we've seen them have those issues so far. So, like, are they going to have a convincing victory? Even last week, I know they put up 56, but was it convincing? And let's not forget.
This is pretty good one.
I know. Mac Ball, Florida State. Hung around against Notre Dame. North Carolina had 656 yards of offense last week. Holy shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Florida State's going to play Jordan Travis.
Yep.
Florida State, 0-9. I'm just looking at some of these trends here. Not good for Florida State. Not good.
But it opened at 8 in Florida State. It's on the road. This one has the fucking screamings of trap game, dude. Like, this is, to me, one of the trappiest lines I've seen. Opened at 8, up to 13.5. 75% of the bet, 85% of the money. I want nothing to do with this one, nothing. I can't imagine North Carolina's looking at divert to North NC State, but I mean, I don't know. Crazier things have happened. I want nothing to do with it. Nothing.
And again, if you missed anything tonight, we'll probably bring them up on Saturday, our Saturday show. We're doing this podcast because, like, we talk every game, and it's just, I don't know if anybody else does that. Speaking of that, Charlotte, Florida International. Charlotte's 1-2. FIU's 0-2. Charlotte's 7-point favorites. Totals of 53.5. I don't have much of a preview on this one. I know Dan knows more about Charlotte than I do. I think FIU has stunk so far this year. That's really all I get for a lowdown on that one. As far as trends go, the over
6.5 up to 7. It's a weird game.
As far as trends go, these two teams have met 5 times. The over has gone over 4 of the 5.
Florida's definitely scored. Florida International has definitely scored. Their defense is definitely allowing points, 36 and 31. They allowed 36 to Liberty. So, I mean, kind of worrisome there. I don't really know what to expect week to week from the Charlotte team, so let's just move on.
2 games remaining, Dan, before we get to the big one.
Yeah,
Boston College at Virginia Tech. BC going on the road getting 12 points. Hook me up.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting for sure.
Total 62.
Yeah. I don't know what to think on the total.
I think if BC wins this game, they're ranked, because Virginia Tech's ranked right now.
23.
Now they're at Lane Stadium. They lost 56-45 last week to North Carolina, who BC hung around with. So clearly I think they can play with them. BC threw the ball very well. Trakovich was really good. Zay Flowers, what a game, huh?
He's
now turning into something here. I mean, they play close games. I don't see why they don't play another close game. Their only loss against UNC, they lost in that 2-point conversion there. But I mean, can they stop Khalil Herbert here? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Can they stop him?
I mean, the thing that worries me about BC is they're unbattle tested on the road. They have the one road win versus Duke, and that's it, right? Like, so we don't really know.
Don't forget, was it Texas State at home?
Yep. Yep, right. Texas State was home, UNC was home, and Pittsburgh was all home. They were all home games. So this is going to be their second road game. So I don't really know what to expect, which is kind of why I'm scared to take BC. I agree with your premise. They should play a close game, but yeah, it's a little scary.
I like BC. If they're getting points, you have to kind of look at it. But again, this week could be weird, right? Like, we've already seen a couple of weird lines. Why is, you know, UCF favorite on the road versus Memphis? You hear, like, BC's getting 12 after they've been in every single game. Be careful. This is a be careful. And then finally, I don't even know if this game's going to be played. I don't. I told Tutcher and Rich to run on Paul Feinbaum today, right? You're probably going to get some good shit on that show today.
Agreed.
Georgia at Alabama. Line opened at 7.5. It's now a live line of 4.5. Let's face it, Nick Saban is not on the sideline. Steve Sarkisian will be the head coach in this one. Somehow, some way.
Yikes.
Somehow, some way, Bill Belichick was able to get behind his players last week and close the facility on his own without permission from the NFL, and they moved the game a week without their two best players. You mean to tell me that Alabama is not going to work something out to cancel this game for this week? I'm betting on that. How about that? I'm betting that this game's not going to happen this week. Number 5 versus number 13, the two best teams in the country, Georgia going on the road against Alabama. Like, this is the game we want to see. We want Georgia-Alabama. This is what we want. No Nick Saban? Like, just no. It's not happening.
Here's the problem. Neither team has a week off until after December 5th.
Who cares? Play December 5th.
Okay, so Georgia plays Florida.
And then you know what? They'll play each other again in the SEC championship game.
So Georgia plays Florida. Alabama plays Tennessee, LSU, Auburn. Okay? I don't expect Bama to lose at Tennessee. LSU, you never know. Auburn, I expect them to win. Okay, it's home. Georgia, home versus Florida, they could easily lose that game. So do you want to delay this game 2 months, put it in, you know, December 12th, push back the SEC championship by a week? I think it's a lot to ask, Joe. I think it's a lot to ask to do that. Assuming the game is going to be played, what do you like here? What do you think?
I think the Georgia defense is legit, but I think Alabama's offense can score. So if I was betting on this game, like, all right, like, Dan, if we just showed up to the poker table and it's like, all right, who are you going to bet on? Or we're going up to the window, taking Alabama. I don't trust the Georgia offense enough. I think they score because of their defense. But Alabama's defense hasn't been impressive, and I think they can do good things against this team. So, you know, Najee Harris, I think, will get going. Jalen Waddle, can he get loose, you know? Mac Jones, definitely the better quarterback here. Definitely. I'm not impressed with the Georgia offense yet, even though they've been, where they put up 37, 27, and 44. And I think that 44 had a lot to do with the defense, man. I really do. Just putting them in good situations, turnovers, things like that. But that's square as hell, right? Alabama losing at home, they don't lose at home, only to Auburn.
I think that you can't beat out, I mean, you can beat Alabama on defense, but you're going to have to produce offensively. And my worry is Stetson Bennett, and what is he going to give you against Bama, right? If you're telling me it's JT Daniels or someone who's explosive through the air, I think you can hang with Bama. But does Georgia get, you know, a couple turnovers and, you know, some good field position, and that changes the game? I do think that this is over. I think you're looking over between these two here. I think that is the play. I think Georgia's going to score some points on some good field position. There's probably going to be some turnovers by Bama. I expect Alabama to score offensively. Georgia's not going to hold them down forever. This is not Tennessee and Guantanamo. This is not, you know, Auburn. Yeah, Guantanamo Bay. This is not Auburn and Bo Nix. This is you know, this is fucking Bama and Mac Jones and a high flying offense and Sarkisian, despite the fact that, you know, even if he has to be the head coach, Joe, at least he's the offensive guy, right?
Yep.
So the way I look at it is, yeah, I'm going to say that I think you're looking at the over.
The other thing here, too, is that, and this has always been like a moneymaker for me, is like always fade the former assistant of Nick Saban. Nick Saban's 21-0 in these situations, but Nick Saban won't be there. Still don't think the game happens. I would save your money until you know this game's happening. That's my and maybe the line will be different on that day. So we'll take a quick break. That's it. That's all we got for college football. We went through every game. That's a fucking lot of games, huh?
A lot of games.
And we had games canceled.
Yep.
We had who did we have postponed?
Four games.
LSU, Florida, Baylor, Oklahoma State, Vanderbilt, Missouri. Not like it's the worst teams in the SEC, but yeah, and then Cincinnati, Tulsa. A lot of games, good games. I feel like those are
some good ones too. Yeah,
some quality games right there. NFL, and then we'll tell you where Le'Veon Bell, where he signed, all that coming up. It is the DraftKings Over Under 95 podcast.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
All right, Dan Marino, laces out, Dan.
I've been chucking them up, but I've been getting picked off at every fucking throw in the NFL, so.
Okay, I'm going to share something today, Dan, that I haven't done, so I'm trying to change it up a little bit. I'm giving out my Capper's Cup picks here. Now, actually, you can go to the website when it comes out. What do you think? Should I just let them go there, or should I give out? I'm trying to change things up this week.
So they make you pay for the picks?
No, they don't. No,
yes,
no,
they don't. Yes, they do.
What?
Yep.
Do I just have like a special privilege to click on it and see it then?
Yes, because you are the one making the picks, so you can see everyone else's.
It doesn't show my best bet or anything like that.
Not until after the games have started. Nope.
Oh, that sucks. Well, you want to know who I have? Let's discuss the games. Detroit's at Jacksonville. Okay, Jacksonville's getting 3 at home. I think Matt Patricia is on the hot, hot, hot seat. And we got our boys at home. Our boys. We got Jacksonville is at home this week. So I ask you, Dan Lifshatz, as we start our NFL podcast this week, you look like Matt Patricia. Your job is on the line.
I feel like I've been coaching like Matt Patricia. I feel like I've been picking like Matt Patricia coaches. I mean, it's been, at least in the NFL, it's been that bad of a performance.
Can I give you a couple trendy trends here? Lions. 7-1 against the spread the last 8 games following a bye week. But the Lions are 3-12 against the spread the last 15 games. They're 1-6 against the spread their last 7 on the road in general. But the Jaguars, 0-4 straight up in their last 4 games overall.
Yeah. This one's kind of tough, dude. I mean, the Lions being a road favorite to anyone is kind of fucking crazy at this point, right? Like 1-3 on the road. The fact is that Jacksonville is 1-4, and I feel like they're still – I feel more confident about Jacksonville than I do against the Lions. But the Lions win against the Cardinals on the road a couple weeks ago was super impressive. They played the Saints pretty tough. The Packers game was embarrassing for them. But, you know, they've been in 3 out of 4 games, and they've won one of them. Jacksonville has probably been in 3 out of 5 games and won one of them. This is a game I want nothing to do with. The total on this one's interesting, though, okay? 55 now is the total for on Bookmaker. 55. It's a lot of fucking points. I don't really know what to think about this, Joe. What do you think?
Well, I think just both teams are probably going to score. A little bit of Minshew magic. Like, I don't know. If I was just like, look, like going to Madden simulate this game, I just feel like this game to me in particular is going to be like a Detroit wins, like, you know, 38-33. And Jacksonville, like, made it close at the end on a thing. And there was an interception by Daron Harmon in the back of the end zone.
I think if you want Jacksonville, you wait till they get to the 3.5, because I think you'll probably see a 3.5 pop. And I think if you want Detroit, you take it soon. I think that's the way I would go in this game. I don't want either.
All right, Dan. The Bears are 4-1. They're going to Carolina. Like, how do you fade Teddy Bridgewater at this point as a dog? Are they favored? I'm sorry. Let me look.
They are 1.5 point favorites.
Okay, they're favored. Okay, so that doesn't help. But I don't know. Just Teddy Bridgewater as a starter in general has been pretty good. They've actually been decent without McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean they're three straight wins. I think without McCaffrey, maybe it's because they're not leaning on him as much. And Mike Davis has still been super fucking productive for them out of the backfield. So it's not like they've lost a hell of a lot there. Maybe the system over player thing's kind of taking place, or maybe Mike Davis is really good. I don't really know. But their wins have been really impressive. I mean, the win on the road at LA, that win looks really good now. Like, I think that that's a pretty impressive win against the Chargers. Then they beat the Cardinals, who are kind of reeling, but still, I give them full credit to win that game by 10. The win last week, I mean, again, it's on the road at a divisional opponent. I give you credit there. I don't know what to make of the Chicago team, dude. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I think that they had a really nice win versus Tampa at home, and I think they kind of revert to, you know, back to that kind of Colts, you know, game where I think they struggle again. I expect Carolina to win this game. I do.
So, you know how, like, you say, trends, screw them, like, whatever. The Bears are 5-12 now, again, in their last 17 against the spread, which didn't matter last week, right? Bears are 3-12 straight up in the last 15 games on the road, which they're on the road this week. But here's one that stands out. Panthers are 7-1 at home against the spread versus teams like with a winning record or a team off of, like, yeah, the Panthers, to me, you probably should favor them here, but Chicago has been the better team, I think.
I think it's arguable. I think that you'd say maybe Chicago has the better win. Mm. I'd say that the Tampa Bay win's probably the best one between both these teams. But, I mean, I don't know. Is the 17-13 victory against the Giants, does that look like a really good win? Mm. How's the win on the road at Chicago, at the Detroit, where – you know, Detroit probably should have lost that game. I'm just saying. Like, Detroit probably should have won that game. And they beat Atlanta by 4, and they were getting crushed.
I didn't pick this game. I'm out on this.
Yeah, that's fair.
Oh, we're live on Twitter. Here we go.
There you go.
Hey, there we go now. I don't know what happened there, but, you know, boom, boom, boom. We're back, baby. We're back. Here's one. Cleveland, Pittsburgh. Now, I have a pick on this one.
Okay.
But let's just talk it out for a minute here. Sure. Pittsburgh's 4-0. Cleveland's 4-1. They win last week convincingly. Pittsburgh beats up on Philadelphia. Now, you can question Pittsburgh's wins, right? I mean, have they really been against good teams? They're 3.5 now. They opened at 5. They're 3.5. The total's 51. Last year in this matchup, late in the year, Pittsburgh won 20-13.
And that was with a backup quarterback.
That's right. I took the over in this one. I'm not PPing it, but I'm just letting people know I took the over in this game. And I just think that both teams are going to put up points in this one, and that's where I left it. But there is a little thing here where I think Pittsburgh, like last week, I felt like Cleveland might be overvalued. Well, I think Pittsburgh might be overvalued. The only thing with Pittsburgh is, dude, they're so good at home. They're so good at home. And I don't know. I just think both teams are going to go back and forth scoring. That's what I have this week.
If I can get Pittsburgh at 3, I think I'm going to take them. I'm obviously not going to PP it, and I'm so sorry for all the Steelers backers that if I get Steelers to 3, I will probably take them. So maybe I'll add this on Saturday. I'm telling you right now. And yes, I apologize if you're on the Steelers because I probably just pushed your fucking bet. So, oh well. But that's my feeling. I'm really not that impressed by them. Oh, lovely. Really not that impressed. So there you go.
Cool. All right, let's move on to the next matchup here. Atlanta and Minnesota. Atlanta closed its facility today. They had a COVID test. They're going on the road to Minnesota. Of course, Minnesota blew the game against Seattle this week. They're getting 4 points. Don't love the 4 points. And Atlanta, again, you know, besides that Green Bay game, they've hung around. The last matchup here was a year ago. Minnesota won 28-12. Obviously, a little bit of different teams here. We don't know what's going on with Julio Jones. I'm actually just going to, like, think he's out, right? Minnesota has to bounce back from this game. At the same time, Atlanta with a new coach, Raheem Morris, like, I don't know if there's that coach factor when it comes, like, to betting. When it comes to actual betting, is there anything when it comes to the coach factor? The only thing I can give you is on the head-to-heads. The Falcons are 0-4-1 against the spread the last 5 meetings. The under, though, in the last 8 meetings between these two teams, it's 7-1. And what's the total right now?
Total is 54 per bookmaker right now. Boom. 54, sorry, apologies. 54.5 with the – it literally just moved in front of me. 54.5, it's now – the under is now -113, so a little bit juice to the under. Yeah, I mean, a couple of really shitty teams here, Joe. Yeah, the 0-5 Falcons.
I thought Minnesota looked better last week. Dalvin Cook didn't practice today either. And, yeah, but they have Madison.
Madison's been good. I expect Cook probably won't play. Obviously, we'll know more Sunday. Same with Julio. It sounds like Julio will play, which is, you know, a big upgrade over Zacchaeus or whatever, you know, Lance's other wide receiver, you know, second wide receiver there. So, I mean, they are going to be, you know, a little bit, you know, more formidable offensively, at least. Still, Minnesota played super well, I thought, against, you know, against Seattle on the road. Really, I thought Minnesota should have won that game. Not kicking the field goal and letting Russell Wilson go down the field with, you know, however long left and, you know, minute and a half left. You would have forced Russell Wilson to give him the ball with a little bit less time. And you could have, you know, kicked the ball, made them return it, and make you go down the field, score a touchdown, 2-point conversion. I thought it was pretty bad coaching. I get the, you know, the statistical analysis says you go for the win. Maybe I'm just a pussy, probably am, but I kicked the field goal there.
Yeah, you go up 8 points.
Yeah, I make you get the touchdown and the 2-point.
Worst case scenario, you go to overtime. You try to win the game that way. He didn't give his team a chance to win. I wonder if that affects the next week. Not to mention the coaching angle. Again, I don't know what it is for points, but both sides, man. Raheem Morris on one side, and then, you know, the coach for Minnesota. All I can tell you here is Atlanta's on my list. I will not bet Atlanta. To back that up, Falcons are 0-4 straight up and against the spread the last four games versus the Vikings. And the Vikings have a bye week next week. I think so. I think they have a bye week, depending what happens. But before bye week, the last 11 years, they're 10-1 against the spread.
Yeah, they have a bye week next week. I will say, you know, the way I look at this one, I want nothing to do with it, but I'm interested to see how at least Atlanta tries to rebound with a new coach. I mean, obviously, the coach factor worked, you know, worked for Houston last week, and I think maybe it was just like, hey, you know, we got to get someone fucking new in here. If you're going to guess, you know, start the season 0-5, lose to the Bears in embarrassing fashion, get drilled in Green Bay, and then, you know, I think you probably need to be more competitive against that Carolina game. 23-16, that game, that score is not reflective of how not in the game Atlanta was. It feels like that. So, you know, I'm going to, you know, sit here and say that I have no interest in playing this game, but I am interested in watching how Atlanta responds.
All right, so here's one that the trends stick out to me big time, and I don't know if you would play it, but it's Ravens Eagles. Eagles are at home; they're getting 7.5 points. Now, these double digit, like, you know, last week Baltimore wins by double digits, right? A lot of people, like myself, I thought Baltimore would stick around. I mean, they could have scored a touchdown at the end for a backdoor cover. They didn't. And again, Philly off a loss last week to the Steelers after their Sunday Night Football win against the 49ers, which I don't know how much stock you put into that. But here are the two trends that stand out to me in this one. The Ravens on the road, their last seven games in general are 6-0-1 against the spread. The Eagles at home, Dan, are 1-6 against the spread in their last seven games at home. That one win, can't even remember who it was against, but all I'm trying to say here is the trends kind of lean towards Baltimore in this one here. They're not a good home team, and I wouldn't back them here at home.
Yeah, the interesting part, it's only a touchdown and a half at this point, and I don't know. It does feel like the line is a little bit low. I get that Baltimore has been, I don't know, I guess disappointing. I thought the last 2 weeks were pretty good. I mean, you win by two touchdowns in Washington, and then you win by 24 against, you know, against Cincinnati. I thought it was pretty impressive what they've done the past 2 weeks, but everyone's calling Baltimore underwhelming this year. Maybe it's because they're not dominating the league like they were last year. I've still been pretty impressed by what they've done and put together. Philly, I mean, you watched that whole game last week. There were times you felt that Philadelphia was about to win the game versus Pitt, and then obviously they did not. They ended up blowing it and, you know, allowed Claypool to walk in for that four touchdown, which, you know, sealed the game for them. I am a little scared of what road we're about to travel down with Philly, because if they lose this week, they're 1-4, 1-4-1. They have the Giants and the Cowboys, and then the Giants. So they have three divisional games in a row after this. This is the back end of Philly's schedule. Cleveland, Seattle, at Green Bay, New Orleans, at Arizona, at Dallas, Washington. The back end of that schedule is fucking brutal. And obviously you had Baltimore this week. They need to start racking up some wins, because the back end of that schedule especially is going to be brutal. Absolutely brutal.
That's a brutal schedule. Wow.
And I wonder if Philly is going to start looking at this with a little bit more, you know, pep, and really think that they need to start winning this week.
Yeah, blind eye, 7.5 home team. You look at it, you're like, yeah, that's good. It's just that the trends don't back it up. And, you know, the defensive line of the Eagles is good. Can they stop the running game a little bit? I don't know. I don't see it. I thought last week was the week. I'm not buying it this week.
Here's the other problem. Lane Johnson did not practice.
Yep.
We don't know who's going to be available in the secondary. Avante Maddox did practice today, so that's good. Darius Slay did not participate. He's in the concussion protocol, so you may not have him there either. Fletcher Cox did not practice for personal reasons.
He was hurt last week. I know that.
Right, and he did not practice for personal reasons, so we don't have a status on him.
You don't have Jamon Brown. He's sick. You don't have Epps. He's out. He did not practice. So this Philly team is super, super, super banged up. Now, the one, you know, the good thing is you got DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey back in a limited capacity. Okay. But in terms of, you know, just comparing the two teams, like, you know, health wise, I mean, Calais Campbell's probably going to be out. Jimmy Smith's probably going to be out. Marcus Peters probably going to be out. Ronnie Stanley's out. So, like, I think you're going to see, you know, just a couple of injured teams, but I do wonder if Philadelphia is going to catch them this week, but for the love of God, I'm not back in Philly. I think that they should be on your list.
I have Philly on the list. That's why against San Francisco, I liked them and I didn't touch it because they're on the list. So Atlanta, Philadelphia, they're on the list. Can't do it. And we have four more 1 o'clock games and then we'll get to the 4 o'clocks. Cause I think there's only 2 4 o'clock games and then we're done. But Bengals, Colts off that loss last week. I actually thought Rivers for the first time was rattled with Indianapolis. I like what Cincinnati has on offense, and AJ Green is what he is. But I like Tyler Boyd. I like Higgins. Who would have thought that from Clemson? I thought he was a little soft. He's not. And their defense has been okay. The Colts 8 points after a Cincinnati loss and them off a straight up loss seems a lot to me. And that's just by the naked eye, but I do look up some trends here. The Colts have the bye week next week. The last 7 years, I just brought this up with another team, but with the Vikings, the Colts are 7-0 against the spread their last 7 years versus a bye week. It's like that, you know, to me, and I know it's a different team. And then this stat stood out to me. The Bengals are 0-14-1 straight up their last 15 games on the road, dude.
I mean, they got dick kicked last week. They lost 27-3 on the road to Baltimore, and I didn't think the game should have been that close. I thought Burrow was horrendous. He had a real, real bad game. Baltimore dominated that team up and down the field. Rivers was, at the same time, Rivers was the worst I've seen him be. Like, Rivers is almost done, dude. This has to be his last year. He is putting his entire body into these throws, and he still can't make them. The throws are wobbly. They're soft. There's no speed on them. Backing the Colts last week, in the same spot, I probably would do it again, but his arm is shot. That team is – he just doesn't – he looks like a shell of himself, Joe. And
I still think they had a shot to win. They come back.
They did. They
pick late, you know. And
yep.
I don't know. I actually, who's looked better, Rivers or Breeze? That's a debate for a different day.
I'd say Breeze is
probably, but I don't know. I like what Rivers has done with that team. And 8 points just seems like a lot to me. But the lines this week, we've talked about this before, Dan, and I don't know what the percentage is. If you like a team, forget the spread, right? This might be one of those situations for the Colts. It's just I've been impressed with Burrow. I've been impressed with the Bengals so far, despite last week's no-show against the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm not sure how many spreads mattered. I don't think there was a spread
that mattered. Let's do that Saturday. We'll look that up.
I think the Cowboys game, the spread mattered, and I think the Seahawks game, the spread mattered. Not sure about any of the Saints game. I don't remember what the closing line was there, so that's on me. I bet you that spread also mattered. But those would have been three. But yeah, I mean, I think if you're mostly looking to take sides, you're mostly forgetting about the spread. You're mostly just trying to pick winners. And in that case, yeah, if you think the Colts win at home, Bengals terrible on the road, as you talked about, then you know you would lay the 7.5 or the 8. It's up to 8 now, by the way.
Okay. Let's move on. Then we have the Texans, Tennessee. Texans 1-4 got their first win last week. Tennessee looked really good. Let's face it, against Buffalo. Say what you want. Buffalo was out their corners. Tannehill looked good. It's just nothing else you can say. And Malcolm Butler, a couple picks, so good for him. Divisional game here. Tennessee's 3.5. do you go back to the well? Like, do you put in the short week here? Like, the Titans were 6-6 in the red zone with no sacks against Buffalo. Like, I just look at it like that. They played in a great performance. Can they keep that up? That's something I don't know if I want to fade that. And then I look at the trends and I'm sorry, I'm just pulling up the trends here. But when it comes to this matchup, and I know earlier this year, Dan, we were talking about who's going to come out of that division. And I said, Houston will hang around. Texans are 1-5 straight up their last six games against the spread. Like, it's not good. They're not good after an against the spread win. They're 1-8-1. Like, everything favors the Titans in this one, and that's scary.
Yeah, I mean, they're 1-3 against the spread this year, Joe. Despite the fact that they have four wins, they have 1 2-point win, 1 3-point win, 1 1-point win. They have not been blowing teams out. And I think that Buffalo game was just impressive. I think we saw more of what Buffalo actually is, regression to the mean, right, which we have talked about with Buffalo for the past few weeks, regression to the mean of what Buffalo actually is. And, you know, Josh Allen, what he actually is, not exactly an MVP-type player, but more of a very good quarterback. I'd say probably the second-best quarterback in the AFC. So I still think Newton is better, but you can make the argument either way, and I'd listen to it. Tennessee, that's a huge win for them. That's a massive fucking win for them. 4-0 in the division, you go easily up top of the AFC South. You know, the Colts are now, 2.5 games behind you? Or 1.5 games behind. This is not as an important of game for, you know, the Texans as it is for for the Titans as it is for the Texans. I mean, if the Texans – if Houston loses this game, their season's over, right? You start 1-5, this is it. This is it. I'd say you're looking at the motivation line there and you're seeing, you know, a potential letdown spot on the short week for Tennessee. And you're looking at Houston and saying, well, you know, Tennessee, 1-3 against the spread. They've had one real dominant win. Now it's on a short week and, you know, they're facing Houston, who, again, new coach. The problem is you can look at this, you know, look at the actual spot. It's not exactly a fantastic spot for Houston because they're on the road. That being said, the on-the-road, you know, spots for these divisional games aren't as bad because your team's kind of used to it. You're used to going to Tennessee. You have a spot where you put, you know, where you stay there. You travel to the games, yada, yada, yada. It's a little bit different with COVID, but nonetheless – I do think that this is going to be a Houston or nothing spot, and I still can't back Houston. I know we both like Houston last week. I still can't back them against Tennessee, but I agree. Everything points to the Titans, but I would still be Houston or nothing. And I'm not betting it. I'm definitely not touching the Texans, at least as of right now.
Giants are 0-5. They're favored by 2.5 points against Washington. Sorry. Washington for me with Kyle Allen. I'm not backing an 0-4 team at home, even though it happened a week ago with Houston. Sorry, Dan. And the only thing I'll give the Giants is their defense is ranked 8th in the NFL. I don't know. To me, and in my capper's pick, I took Washington 2.5.
The line's now at 3, Joe. So Washington getting 3 is going to be really hard to lay off of, I feel, right? Like, I think that this is going to be one of those lines this week that's going to be super hard to lay off. How bad has Washington actually been? Like, they have not been they lose by 2 touchdowns against the Ravens, but I don't know. On the road versus the Browns and the Cardinals, I felt like they were in those games, at least. The win is really not that impressive. And then, obviously, we don't know what they're going to be like with Alex Smith and Kyle Allen, you know, versus, you know, going forward. I think this is an avoid game, Joe. But I will say that Washington 3 is going to be super, super attractive.
I can't bet a team that has no wins. I can't do it. And then the next game is the Patriots. Call me square, but I just think Cam Newton, Steph Gilmore back now. You know, there could be an excuse where he's rusty. I don't think Denver's. I looked this up today. Denver gives up over four yards per carry. They give up over 105 yards rushing per game, and they get crushed over the middle of the field. That's everything Cam Newton can do. Now, there's no tight end to throw to. Noah Fant, we don't know if he's playing, right? He's been pretty decent this year. Patrick's been very good. Jerry Judy's been very good. But I think the secondary can contain that. It's 10 points. And I think Denver deserves a little more respect than 10 points. But to me, I like the Patriots.
So Itachi did not practice. I'll just kind of go over quickly. Itachi did not practice for Denver, so it sounds like he's going to be out. Gordon, coming off the DUI,
he practiced today, which I'm surprised.
He took responsibility right after it happened. He called the coach. He got a full practice. I assume he'll be suspended, but not in time for this game. So, I mean, I think that he'll probably end up playing. Handler is not going to play, it sounds like. Fant got a limited practice in both days. Lindsey's got full practice in. Garrett Bowles got a limited practice in today. And it sounds like Locke is going to start, okay? For the Patriots, I think Dedrick Wise, Ferentz, and Illuminor are the guys who have not practiced. And no offense, and Illuminor returned today. Wise has been out both days.
Yeah, Wise is out, I think.
Yeah, so it sounds like Wise is probably going to be out. You know, you missed 2 days of practice. I assume you're out. Butler, Edelman, Mason, Wynn, all limited. Denver on the road at New England. New England coming off a bye week, which we know how good Bill Belichick is prepping on a bye week, right? They were prepped for Denver. They were prepped. They were ready. They're going to change their offensive game plan, but the defensive game plan shouldn't change too much. I still think that, you know, you're going from ripping the lock. I don't think it's a massive change in the way you approach the game. Their one win is against the Jets. They haven't been terrible. I mean, they were okay on the road against, you know, Pittsburgh. They got killed by Brady and the Bucs, and I do think that that is a little scary. Kind of looking at that. If the game is in New England, and that's the reason I like it, I do. If this was Mile High in Denver, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But at home, I would take the Patriots and lay the points. And I'm not going to do that, by the way. I'm not going to do that. But if you're making me choose and you're making me pick something, I would go that way. But it sounds like the Broncos are going to be mostly healthy, and so are the Patriots.
4 o'clock, 4:25. We have, 4 o'clock, Jets, Miami. This is one of those games where I look at it, and I think Miami wants to pound Adam Gase. I see 9.5, 10. I think they're going to pound the Jets. Now, the Jets kept it close, a quick close game last year. Sorry, I took Miami -9.5. This was my, like, last pick, because you give 5, and then you give, hey, give a 6 just in case you tie. So this was my last one. I have Miami. I'm not even looking at it. Joe Flacco on the road in Miami. Hell no. Give me Miami.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that Miami is up to 10 now is somewhat annoying, but I agree. I think it's Miami or nothing in the spot. I'm not fucking backing Joe Flacco. They couldn't move the ball against Arizona, whose defense has been suspect at best recently. You know, they lost to the Broncos in that game. I thought that McDame game that might win. Here's the Jets schedule coming up, Joe. You ready for this? Tell me where you see the win, okay? Tell me where you see the win in this schedule. At Miami, home versus Buffalo. At Kansas City, home versus the Patriots. At LA Chargers, home versus the Dolphins, maybe. Home versus the Raiders, maybe. At Seattle, at the Rams, home versus the Browns, at the Patriots. Holy hell. This team's in serious shit, dude. Like, real serious shit. I think that the Jets – I feel the Jets are tanking, so I don't think they're worried. I think they want to lose this game. That's the way I'm going with it. I'd say Miami or nothing.
Packers, Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay off the loss. They come back home. Green Bay has been a monster. They beat up on Atlanta. Green Bay, I'm not fading them at this point. I know the line is what it is. I've watched him. I've watched Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers before. I took Green Bay minus 2.5. It's 1 point right now.
I'm not going to bet it, but I'm going to look into this one for Saturday. I like Tampa. I do think that eventually the Packers are going to give way. They have, you know, double row games in a row at Tampa, at Houston, back-to-back weeks. Their schedule so far, I mean, Green Bay, the quality of opponent certainly has been in question. Minnesota, on the road of Minnesota, I still think is a good win because it's division. The Lions, you know, that win's not really super impressive at home. The Falcons, is that win super impressive at home, even prime time? At the Saints, they win by 7. That Saints team has been disappointing, and they let Kamara run all over them. Tampa's going to have – it sounds like Tampa's going to be healthy this week. It sounds like, you know, that they're going to have pretty much their full slate of offensive weapons go. Godwin's practicing on a limited basis. Scotty Miller's practicing. Leonard Fournette's practicing. I just do think that Tampa's defense is still very good. I think Tampa has a chance to pull this one out.
All right, and then we have the final 4 o'clock game. That's the Rams 49ers. I think the 49ers bounce back here. I know a lot of people. Actually, I don't know if they bounce back this week, but I think they do bounce back at some point. 8 o'clock game. We've seen San Francisco 2 weeks in a row. If they can't run the football, they stink. Rams can score. So can San Fran keep up with that? This is one I want to discuss on Saturday, Dan, because I know it sounds like Garoppolo is going to play. San Fran won last year, late in the year, 34-31. I think it was a Sunday night game as well. I'm torn on this one. I do think that the 49ers are better than what we've seen, but I also think that the Rams have been pretty good this year. So I have no play right now on this one. But I think the 49ers are better than what we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, we had a line flip on this one. The Niners opened as 3-point favorites, and it flipped, and now obviously the Rams are 3-point favorites. I'm not that surprised. I mean, but I will say it's a divisional game, and you have to expect coming off 2 losses in a row that the Niners are going to give a better performance, right? Like, again, the Niners 2 wins against the Jets and the Giants, so I don't want to go, you know, overboard and whatever, but fourth in the NFC West, if they want to make the playoffs, this almost feels like a must-win game, you know, especially on the road at New England next week and then on the road at Seattle the week afterwards. Green Bay, at New Orleans, at the Rams, home versus the Bills. Like, your stretch is fucking brutal if you're San Francisco. This is almost a must-win game at home, Joe. It really does kind of have that sense. I'm worried. I do think San Francisco, I think they know. This has got to be a must-win game. And I think maybe there's a chance they overlooked Miami last week and Miami just gave them the ass. So I don't know. We'll see. But I am worried.
And then we got 2 games Monday night. Kansas City goes to Buffalo. I if Buffalo doesn't have White, I think Josh Norman, you called it, dude, he sucks. I'm sorry, Kansas City, it's just going to depend on the line. Josh Allen, despite his 2 interceptions, I thought had at times showed, like that throw to TJ Yeldon in the back of the end zone. Whoa, what a cannon.
Fantastic.
He's better.
He's drastically improved.
Still makes mistakes, and he can't lean on his run game anymore.
Yeah, but how good is that Kansas City defense? Don't you think that a guy like Josh Allen is going to be able to take advantage?
Maybe it's just that any team besides what the Raiders did last week. Despite that, teams when they try to throw with Kansas City doesn't work out.
I don't know. I mean, I think the Patriots have Cam Newton. They probably win that game going away.
I agree.
And I think that you've now seen 2 bad performances in a row for Kansas City. That is a concern. Buffalo, this is a massive game for Buffalo. Massive. This might be their Super Bowl. I mean, really, for all we're saying, I mean, again, until they face the Patriots a couple weeks, this is one of their 3 biggest games on the schedule all year. So I think Buffalo is going to be prepared. I think they're going to be ready.
We'll talk about this one more on Saturday, but I'm interested to see if Kansas City is going to continue going downhill, because I think they have the past two games.
All right, and then Dallas without Dak Prescott. They opened up as 3-point favorites and now 1.5-point dogs versus Arizona. I like Arizona this year. I don't trust them yet. They're one of those betting teams, you know. Last week they covered against the Jets. Dallas could be a different team with Dalton. They could be. Total's 55. I probably lean the over. But just off the bat, I'm going to look at this one a little more. Dallas was favored, now a dog. It's just, that's weird to me. Dallas is one of these teams you can't bet on. They're 0-5 against the spread right now. You can't touch them.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty brutal. Didn't they? Yeah, during the year, you're right, 0-5 against the spread. I will say, I think that Dallas will probably go to more of a power run game. You know, obviously, I think that, you know, they're probably going to run the ball with Pollard a lot now and Zeke. And I think you're definitely going to see Pollard start mixing on third down to be that pass catching back, because I think that he's been pretty good in that spot. Dallas was still able to score last week and still able to find a way to win that game after the Prescott injury. I think Dalton is probably going to be underrated early on. And I think that he, you know, he has enough weapons around him between Cooper and Gallup and, you know, and CeeDee Lamb. Those guys are explosive, all three of them. I think they're going to be able to still find a way to move the ball and be a little bit more of a power run team. So I still kind of like Dallas here. I do. And Arizona to me is just not trustworthy. You kind of said it, 3-2, but their wins so far are against a bad Niners team we just kind of talked about, the Redskins and the Jets. So kind of what happens when they face better competition? Not saying that Dallas, you know, is really part of that better competition, but what's going to happen with that team? So I'm interested to see where Arizona goes. This is a huge game for, you know, kind of determine if they make the playoffs or not. So we'll see.
All right, that's it for this week. Arkansas State, Georgia State tied at 7 right now in the first quarter. Georgia State just had a really long run from their 1-yard line to score. So that is it. We're back on Saturday. We'll know more, because I'm sure games will be canceled before we know it. Dan, one thing I do want to get into Saturday, I saw some MVP odds for the NBA that I thought worth discussing next year. The Conor McGregor fight's on. So that will happen. And what else? Oh, and then Major League Baseball playoffs. We'll find out if there's a possible World Series matchup by then.
And we also have NBA championship odds for next year.
That's true. I saw somebody was left off that list. so we'll do that as well. So we did 2 hours and 11 minutes this week. We had the Twitter malfunction. I'm going to download this, send it to you now so we can post it to the website. Everything's on YouTube. It's on our Twitter handle as well. So that's it, Dan. Best to your family. Thank you for giving us your 2 hours today, and I'll see you Saturday morning.
Yeah, and again, apologies for the lack of picks. As I said, I was not done my normal preparation because of this week, and we will give you plenty on Saturday.
All right, for Dan Lifshutz, I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of Over Under 985.
Who you got? Have a good one, fellas. See you, Joe.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.